Hello, hello. Hello, buenos días. Good morning. Happy New Year. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Good morning. Buenos días. I have to warn you. My name is Daniel De Leon. Mambo for my friends, so all of you can call me Mambo. And I have to warn you that my English is very rusty. I am from Mexico. I spent like about 10 days with my family on this Christmas. So I only spoke Spanish the whole time, even with my nephews. They are bilingual now. But so my English is rusty. I'm still, I don't know, Katy, what should I do? I might preach in Spanish today and figure this thing out. No, I'm just kidding. Let's pray. Let's pray so God can speak into our lives today. Let's pray. Señor, gracias te damos porque estamos aquí. Te quiero dar gracias por cada persona que está en este lugar. Te alabamos, te bendecimos, te pedimos porque tu Espíritu Santo sea quien hable a nuestras vidas. Habla a nuestros corazones, cámbialos, transfórmalos. Te necesitamos, Señor. Te bendecimos. Llénanos con tu Espíritu Santo en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. And you're probably wondering what's happening with Mambo. Why is he so formal today? You know that I usually preach with my beanie or in, you know, tennis shoes, or I'm very informal. I don't like formality. But my roommate was getting rid of some clothes. It's a true story. So he was going to give this away, and it turned out that he never well. Right? And then this is a brand new jacket that he never wore, and he gave it to me for $20. Praise God. We're starting 2019 really well. So today, as Michelle mentioned, we're very happy. We're very excited because today we are celebrating 1 year as Westside Church Internacional. So praise God for that. 1 year ago, yes. 1 year ago, we started this journey called Westside Church Internacional, and oh boy, it has been a roller coaster. My gosh. But oh my gosh, this is the church, guys. This is the Christian life, and it's supposed to be this way. So we're very happy. I'm very happy that we're still here. We're still here after 1 year. So praise God for that. I hope all of you had a wonderful Christmas. I spent, as I said, 10 days with my family, and I literally did nothing. So that was not good for me. I just watched Netflix. All Netflix, all the movies that are on Netflix, we watch them, kind of. I watch like 5 movies. I watch all the kids' movies with my nephews. So ask me about any movie for kids in Netflix, and I'll give you a summary. So I hope that you guys had a great time with your family. I ate a lot. It's good to be back. Also, I think Michelle mentioned this too, that today is Dia de Reyes, right? The Three Kings is what you call. So I never got presents on Christmas. I always had my presents on January 6th. So not only in Mexico, but in many countries in Latin America, and I understand that in some countries in Europe, they are getting all the kids gather presents today. So there are a lot of really, really happy kids all over Latin America. So praise God for that. I'm actually accepting presents as well. I'm giving 3 options. A trip to Hawaii. I accept tourist class. Another one could be a motorcycle. Harley Davidson preference. Well, a ticket to the Super Bowl, that's the third option, if you guys want to contribute. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, today is the Dia de Reyes, so happy Dia de Reyes to all of the kids. And to this Sunday, we're starting off a new sermon series. I always have a hard time pronouncing those words. Sermon series called House to House. And this is pretty much, we're kicking off throughout our month, or small groups. We are starting, as Westside, we are starting small groups. The last year, That was one of the questions that we had as pastors, as staff. We didn't think that it was the right time for us to start small groups. We thought that the soil was still very, very fresh. So we didn't think that God was leading us to start small groups. We're still a baby church. But last summer, we felt that the Lord was telling us that starting on January 2019, it was a good time for us to do that. So we're excited for what God is going to be doing this year, for what God has in store for us this year. What I mean for us, I mean you, and I mean me. So let me give you a little bit of my story and how my story relates, because it's not only my story, it's probably your story too, how my story relates to all these things called small groups and discipleship in the church. So probably some of you, or the majority of you, know that I came to the States in 2011. So I came from Mexico to study at Denver Seminary. So even though I had visited the States many times before, living in a different place, living in a different country, it's a completely new territory. So as I was settling down, as I was trying to figure out my classes and how things work here in the States and being a new international student here, one of the things that I wanted to do is that I wanted to get involved in a community. I wanted to get involved in a church. So I started visiting many churches. I heard, they told me, that here in Denver, there are a lot of churches, so I thought that it was going to be a very easy task. However, after a year, I hadn't still found a church. I had gone to many really good places, but I just didn't feel that it was the place that I wanted to connect to. I finally found a church, and then after a year, that church closed down. Go to that church, churchless. Again, right? And that year, actually, when I used to go to that church, I would go by myself most of the time. So this church closed down, so I started looking for other churches until I finally found one church that I really liked. It's a mega church here in Denver. So I started attending, and it was kind of, I was still feeling alone. I was still going to church by myself. I would come to church by myself, and I would leave church alone as well. So I was like, okay, let's find for ways in order for me to connect, in order for me to plug in. So I was like, oh, I'm going to volunteer in the coffee team. So I went on one Sunday. I signed up. I went on one Sunday, and I was just carrying a lot of huge containers of coffee everywhere, but I didn't have the chance to meet a lot of people. So I was like, okay, maybe serving coffee is not going to be a way for me to connect. So I changed strategies. So I decided that I was going to sign up for a small group, right? So I signed up for a co-ed small group, married people, single people, you know, so I can learn from everybody. And when I went to that small group for the first time, I didn't know anybody. We didn't know each other. The first night that I show up, the leaders of the small group tried to make us speak in tongues, right? If you don't know what that is, that's kind of weird. If you don't know what that is, I'm not talking negatively about those gifts of the Spirit that are in the Bible. But if you don't know what that is, if you don't understand what that is, it can be a little weird, all right? So you had some people here talking in I don't know what language, and that created a huge debate, huge theological debate. There was this girl that said, like, hey, guys, I just received Christ, like, last week. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I just want to know about Christ. And she never came back. And in my case, I was not bothered at all about that. But I was kind of like, okay, maybe I just didn't know that this was going to happen. But I was like, I'm still going to stay because I want to commit to these people. So I stayed for about a small group, 6 months to a year until I transitioned to another small group. And this other small group, I was there for 6 months, and then the small group disappeared. And then I went to another small group, and then I was hired by another church to work and to serve. But in all of that time, as I was going to a small group from a small group from a small group, I was still feeling very alone. I would still go to church feeling that I was not being known, that I was not connecting for some reason. And maybe my experience is just very particular. Maybe I'm just, that's just me. Maybe some of you, or the majority of you, have had, and I had as well. Like, after that, I actually found a great group of people who are actually now my roommates. Ryan is one of them. I found him in a small group. What's up, brother? Love you, man. So it's not that that happened, but it was hard. It was hard for me to go through that experience. And maybe for some of you, you're feeling that way in your life. Maybe for some of you are feeling disconnected. Maybe some of us are feeling unplugged. Maybe a lot of us come to church. Maybe a lot of us even come to Westside, and we still don't feel known. We still don't feel connected. We still don't feel that other people know who we are, right? However, when God created the world, we see in the Bible in Genesis 3 that He created the world, that He created human beings in order for us to have intimacy with one another and intimacy with God. Perfect relationship with one another and perfect relationship with God. So if you and I feel sometimes that you're craving for connection, that you're craving for relationship, that you're craving for more, that's because God intended it to be that way. That's because God put that in our hearts. That's the way that God wired our souls and our minds. But sometimes in the world in general, in the church, this is not reality. And we face different challenges. We now face the challenge of social family. Guilty. Number one over here. According to my family, I think my mom is number one. And then I am number two. I think my dad is number three. That we spend too much time on our phones, right? So social media has played a big role in order for us to be disconnected. Other thing, and we have said this before, other thing that we experience here in Denver that disconnect us is the mountains, right? Is entertainment. If you go to Facebook or you go to Google and just Google things to do in Denver, you could do something fun every single day. You could have a full-time job here in Denver doing fun things, right? But those fun things also disconnect us from one another because there's a sacrifice that we have to make, right? It's either people or it's me going and having fun. Now, I'm not saying that having fun is bad, but I like having fun too, but that becomes a challenge. So all these different challenges that we have make us feel a society or make us be a society that is isolated and that it's alone. One of my friends, one of my good friends, said that there's this song. How many of you know the band Green Day? Okay. So Green Day, it's kind of like, it's rock, right, Kike? Punk, okay, it's punk. Thank you. And they're very popular, or they were popular maybe like 10 years or so ago. But they had a very famous song. And one of my friends told me, Mambo, I think this song is the hymn of our generation. And let me read you what it says. The name is Bolivar of Broken Dreams. I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me, and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams where the city sleeps, and I am the only one, and I walk alone. I walk alone. My shadow is the only one that walks beside me. My shallow heart is the only thing that is beating. Sometimes I wish someone out there will find me. Until then, I walk alone. I'm walking down the line that divides me somewhere in my mind, on the borderline of the edge and where I walk alone. Read between the lines what's beep up and everything is all right. Check my vital signs to know I'm still alive and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams where the city sleeps and I'm the only one and I walk alone. How sad is that? But you know, God, you know what, guys? This is not supposed to be that way. Human beings, God did not create us to walk alone. He didn't do it. He created a body, an organization, an organism, however you want to call it, a group of people called the church. So in order for us not to walk alone. Because this is the thing, amigos y amigas, regardless if you're a Christian, regardless if, you know, if this is your first time at church, if you're coming back to church, you know, after many years, regardless where you are, if you're a human being, let me tell you this, you need other people. If you're a human being, I don't care how tough you think you are, how these are, man, I'm like so independent. No, you're not. You're not. You need other people, you know, in order to eat. You need other people in order to make the clothes that you have. You need other people to communicate. This is the way God created your brain. It's a scientific fact, this thing, all right? This is not about like, oh, I'm so independent and tough. No. God, Christ is the toughest dude has ever walked the face of the earth. And he always depended on his Father. Christ himself. And actually science, she says that. There's this woman, her name is Christine Comerford. She writes for Forbes magazine, and she's pretty much a coach for the highest CEOs of different companies around the world. She's a speaker, she coaches. So anyway, she works with very, very successful and smart people. And this is what she says about the greatest need that a human being has. And we actually have it on the screen. It says, the greater the feeling of safety, both emotional and physical, so we can take risks, the greater the feeling of connection with others, or the feeling that we are in this together and we belong together, the greater the feeling that we personally matter and make a difference and are contributing to the greater good, then the greater the success of the company, the relationship, the family, the team, and the individual. So if you want to be successful as a CEO or as a businessman or whatever you do, you need to be connected to others. It's a scientific fact. That's what she says to all these leaders of big companies around the world. And in the Bible, amigos y amigas, we see an example of this. We see an example of a group of people who didn't know each other, who actually didn't like each other, who were from different backgrounds and different everything, and they became one. They became so close to each other that they didn't even care about sharing all of their properties, all of their resources in order for them to help out their brother and sister and family. In other words, as we say in Westside Church Internacional, they became an imperfect family. They became an imperfect family. They were, of course, reminded, as I said, not perfect. They had flaws, they had conflicts. But at the end of the day, they were reminded that they were one family. And therefore, they should live like one. So let's see what the Bible says in Acts 2, 42-47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let me ask you this. Wouldn't you like to be part of a community like this? Everybody. Everyone. Actually, I once watched a documentary about this cult. It was a cult. It was this guy who just taught a lot of false things. And the documentary is about a group of people who lived together. If I remember well, they were about 20 to 30 people who lived together for about 15 years. So it was a very long time. And the leader of this cult started abusing them emotionally, physically, in all different kinds of ways. So they interview all these people that were not part of the cult anymore, of course, and they ask them if they regretted being part of that cult, now that they knew what was this about. And they said something very interesting to me. They said that not necessarily, because the community that they had, the community that they experienced, it's something that they had never had in their lives. That's the power of community. That's the power of being close. That's the power of unity. And we see in Acts 2 that these group of people were enjoying each other so much that they were others. Every day they were together in the temple courts. And others would see their lives and their example, and God would bring those who were supposed to be saved, who we're being saved. Because let me tell you this, amigos. When we marry Christ, we marry his family. These two things are not mutually exclusive. I think sometimes we have the notion or the idea that I have a personal relationship with God, and this is just between me and God. But it's like when you get married, those who are married, let me ask you this. When you marry, did you marry just your spouse, or did you start a relationship with his or her family? It comes in a package. When we receive Christ in our lives, it comes with a package too. And that's called the church. That's called an imperfect family, right? There's no llanero solitario, lonely rangers in Christianity. It doesn't exist. It comes with an imperfect family. And we enter into a family called the body of Christ. I remember when I was at seminary, so I'm experiencing a lot of new things here. I asked my friend about church, because I was looking for a church. And he said, well, I go to this church, but I go, you know, every now and then. Which for me, as Mexican growing in a conservative church, I grew up, I mean, not going to church on Sunday for us in Mexico, and I know that is similar in parts of the States as well. was like, man, like, I think my mom would have, I don't know, put me in jail or something if I didn't go to church on Sunday. It's just, that just doesn't, it's church. If there was an event and my team was playing the final, you wouldn't watch that. You go to church, right? So this guy says, like, yeah, Mambo, you know, I go to church, you know, every now and then the Sunday, and then I go, but there are Sundays that I go to the mountains and I have church there with God by myself. And I was like, me as Mexican, right, coming here, like, what? I didn't say that to him, but I thought about that. Like, how's church without the church? And now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God cannot speak to us or that we shouldn't go to the mountains and spend time with him alone. That's he did that. He does that, right? But that's not the church. We are. This is not an online survey, guys. This is reality. One of the classes that I hated the most when I was, and I'm not talking bad about online classes, but one of the classes that I hated the most when I was at seminary was online classes. Because I soon realized that going to seminary was not about getting the information that my professors were giving to me, but it was about the formation process. And coming to church is not about the information that you get from whoever is in the platform. It's about the formation process. It's about that. So this is not an online survey thing that we do whenever we feel like. It's not what we see in the Bible, guys. Could you imagine the Broncos, you know, like just getting together every once in a while to train? Or the Cowboys, David. Come on, man. Preach it. Preach it. They beat the Seattle yesterday. Could you imagine if they would get together every when they feel like it? You think they could become a real team? Because a real team knows their strengths, but also they know their weaknesses. And when they're aware of that, and when I cover your weakness, because we're a team, and you cover mine, that makes us strong. That makes us strong. And that doesn't happen in isolation. That doesn't happen by ourselves. So we see in the book of Acts a group of people who didn't know each other, who became this group, this imperfect family. The Bible says that Peter preached to 3,000, and now to preach to a lot, but 3,000 actually believed and they were baptized. And now they were having everything in common. They were selling properties and they were like having, you know, dinner and food and worshiping God every single day. And that's something that only God can do. Something that only God could do. And maybe for some of you, or thinking like, Mambo, you've been talking about family, but I come from a very dysfunctional family. I don't resonate with that example. Probably you have a good family, and that's probably, it makes sense to you, but it doesn't make sense to me. But let me tell you this, God is in the business of restoring all things. Restoring all things. Because our families were affected by sin. We're affected by or brokenness. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So this is my challenge for us, Westside, in this morning. It is not our intention when we are talking about small groups. It is not our intention of just getting together weekly. That's not the goal. But it is my prayer. It is my heart. It is my need. It is my desire that we can do life together. That this becomes a safe place. A safe place in which we can bring our brokenness. A safe place in where we can bring our struggles. A safe place in where we can bring our shame or fear. I pray that God allows us to become that more and more. That is my prayer. Because guess what? If this is not the place where we can bring our brokenness and our shame and our struggles, let me ask you this. Where is it? Because I want to go there. If this is not the place, we're going to go to alcohol. We're going to go to porn. But go to becoming workaholics. We're going to go to bad relationships. If this is not the place, guys, let me tell me where it is so I can go there. But I pray and I know that God wants this family, this imperfect family, to become a safe place. But that's going to take time. And it's going to take a lot of hardships. And it's going to be a roller coaster because all of us are imperfect human beings. All of us come and bring. Andy Stanley says, your past is never your past until it's your present. In other words, your past is never in the past until you deal with it, until you let God to heal whatever you need to heal. I need to heal. I need healing. And my prayer is that this thing called small groups, Bible study, life groups, however you want to call it, is not the end in itself, but is the way in which we can get to know each other, in a place in where we can break the bread, a place where we can be safe. I'm going to ask the worship team to please come. One of the best examples that we have about this in the Bible is Jesus and his disciples. And as you know, when Jesus called his disciples, again, he didn't call them just to have like a casual relationship. These were guys who spent time together all the time. They ate together. They laughed. They cried together. I bet they pick on each other every now and then, right? On whatever. They were human beings just like you and me. They probably talk about, I don't know, what the sports were back in the day. They would probably ask Jesus, or what do you think? Right? Who they were. Sometimes they would call them in different names according to the context. To Peter. I relate to Peter so much because he's just so, Peter's so impulsive. And I relate to him so much because I'm the same way. And he says things that he's going to do and he ends up not doing those things and he just makes a mess sometimes. But the way that Jesus treats Peter after he betrayed him, his best friend, one of his best friends betrayed him, and the other one actually sold him, Judas. This is, guys, the Christian life. I don't want to sugarcoat what we're trying to do here. A lot of us, including me, stop going to church for one reason. It's because they hurt me. And it's actually proven that the church is the organization that can hurt people the most. More than any job that you can have is the church. Because this is where we give everything of who we are. And when we feel betrayed, when we feel whatever experience that we might have, the first reaction that we have as human beings is like, I'm just gonna walk away. So I just want to pray for us this morning, and I just want to encourage each one of us and even myself as we are going through, as we're starting this new year, as we're starting this new season in the life of our church, I pray that Westside Church International becomes a safe place for us. That's my prayer. I pray that none of you come to this place alone and leave feeling alone. If you feel that way, we're failing to you guys. We're failing. I am failing. If you feel that way. My prayer is that the church is the place isn't where we bring our brokenness. Not only that, a place in where we can receive grace and truth. Grace in order for us to be accepted, and truth in order for us to grow. Not like everybody else, to grow into the image of God, of Christ. Just like you, as He made you. So let me pray. Why don't we stand up and let's pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you. We're starting a new year, God. We're starting 2019. Lord, and there is just so much brokenness, Lord, in my own life, in the lives of so many people. Lord, that I just want to say to you that we need you. We need you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, that through your Holy Spirit, God, you would speak into our lives, that you would transform us. Lord, I pray that as we go on this week, help us, help me to live out on the grace that we have in Christ, to live out the identity that we have, the new identity that we have in the new family. I pray that when people come to this church, that all the rejection that they experience on the daily basis in their work or in their family, that's not something that they experience here. Because if it's not the church, where? So I pray, Lord, that you would speak into our lives. We need you, God. Thank you, because we have this certain hope that is Christ. Thank you. We worship you.